You've probably heard this, maybe not, because I had heard it, and then I heard it in a song later. And it's a little boy who's holding his bat and his ball, and he's standing there, and he says, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." He throws the ball up, and he misses. And he picks the ball up again, not dismayed at all. "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." And he misses again. He picks the ball up the third time. He says, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." And he looks back, and the ball's still there. He thinks about it for a second. He goes, "I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." Perspective. As a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh, the scripture actually says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Where's the think at? Where's the heart at? See, in order to be that, you've got to just get that information from here to here. Because when it gets here, anything can happen. This is the place of production. Your heart is also compared to soil in the Bible. In Mark chapter 4, it talks about the parable of the seed and the sower. As a matter of fact, it starts off like this. It talks about this parable, and it says, you don't know this parable. If you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any of my parables? In other words, Jesus is saying, if you don't get this one, the rest is impossible. So this is fundamental. This is foundational. You've got to get the parable of the seed and the sower. And what happened with the seed and the sower is simply this. A sower went to broadcast seeds out. Some fell on four places: shallow ground, rocky ground, thorny ground, and good soil. But this is how, I mean, I've preached that before. I just want to draw back to this about the seed, which is God's word, getting from your head to your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, when I preach it, the good thing is it gets in your head. The bad thing is, by the time you get to your car, the enemy could have stolen it. Because this is what it says about that scripture. It says, an enemy, when the word is sown, when the seed is scattered, the enemy comes immediately to steal it. The enemy can't help it that you came today and that you heard the word. So he waits, and he waits, and he waits, and as soon as you get it, distraction. As soon as you get it, fuss with the wife. As soon as you get it, the kid fell in the nursery. Something crazy happened, and the enemy, what you don't realize is that the enemy has stolen that word out of your heart. I started realizing that to be true in my life when I would go. And my pastor is one of the greatest preachers in the world. But I started realizing sometimes he would preach something and I'd shout all about it. But by next Sunday, I had forgotten what he even preached. I'm telling you, I was into that thing. Where's my Kleenexes at? Who's got my Kleenexes? I was into it. I need a Kleenex. Just somebody, y'all, we got like 40 boxes in here, y'all, come on. This is a place you can cry or blow your nose if nothing else. I was into that thing, I was waving the hanky, I was so into it. And the next thing I know, I forgot all about what he said. I started realizing, I've got to guard that word. I've got to guard the seed. It has to get to my heart. The word has to go from my head to my heart. And I told Travis, he said, he was talking about the word. He said, the principles that I've got, I've applied them. I said, Travis, that should be happening everywhere. Not just you. It didn't just end up on you and you got lucky. You took the word. and you got it from your head to your heart, and you applied it into your life, and now it's gotten good to you. That's when you can take the word home, celebrate it, learn it more, break it down even more. I told Travis, I said, all I did was give you meat. You took it home and made it sausage. Grind it up. Amen. I start talking about food, my mouth gets watered. I need to drink water. It's usually not a great big adjustment. It's usually just a little thing. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 3, verse 3. I'm going to give you several scriptures, and I'm going to tie it all together. And this is just a continuation on from last week. Do you remember last week? I will probably do this again. I'll probably pull 10 people up next week just so that you get this example again. But I gave the example. I took one person, I said, of the 10 people, each person was a different point. One was the individual, the next was this church, the next was this city, the next was the state, the next was this country, the next was this continent, the next was the earth, the next was the Milky Way, the next was the universe, and the next was God. So I started with a person, and through quantum physics, we got all the way to God. And I said this, it is easy enough for us to understand that all of this, from the individual to all the stuff, to all the creation, it all belongs to God. It's all in God. But it's hard for us to understand the mystery of the kingdom is that, reverse that thing, that God is in you. It's hard, I know. So I told you, New Age has latched onto this. But they're shooting the credit the wrong way. Jesus lived as an example so that we can live. Jesus died so that we don't have to. He doesn't need us to die and be a martyr for Him. He did the dying already, and it is finished. Now He needs to do us to do. Our noble part is to live, because He died. Our noble part is to live for Him. Okay. John 3, verse 3. This is when Nicodemus, I preached this weeks ago, I preached about Nicodemus who came to Jesus at nighttime because he was a Pharisee. He was way up, and the Pharisees did not like Jesus. So he came to Jesus secretly in the dark at nighttime, hoping that no one would see him. And a work happened in his life, and eventually it's Nicodemus and another Joseph who took the body of Jesus as he had died and wrapped his body and put him into the tomb. So Nicodemus had a true experience with Jesus. But it started right here in John, the third chapter. And see, this is the chapter that we always go with, John 3:16. Everybody knows John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Y'all know it. I'm trusting that y'all know that one right. And we always go with that one. But the key to our salvation is in the beginning of this chapter. Jesus said, you must be born again. Say that, born again. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, it's in the New King James, Kinsey. Sorry, I didn't tell you that. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, Unless, that's a condition. Unless, the condition is unless, here's the condition. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Pretty strong. Nicodemus didn't understand it. He said, I don't get that. I'm born. How am I, an old man? What am I supposed to do? Go back? And he wasn't being vulgar or gross. He was putting it out there. Am I supposed to go back into my mother's womb? He said, no. born of water, but you've got to be born of water and the Spirit. See, there's a physical birth, but there's a spiritual birth that has to happen. Okay, move on. Or move back. I should say John, the first chapter, verse 12 and 13. This was in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All the way down to verse 12 and 13. Well, let me start with 11. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They weren't born because the husband and the wife said, hey, you know what, honey, I'm thinking, we got two boys and one girl. I'm thinking one more girl. That's not what he's talking about. They were born of God. Okay? Ephesians 1:17. Flip to that. Not going to preach that much longer. This is going to help you, though. And get ready. I tell you this. Get ready for your mind to be opened. I started reading, I think I read down to verse 9 or 10 last week. But I'm going to skip down and then I'm going to come back to 11. I'm going to skip down to verse 17 and go as far as I can before I just have to start preaching. Because some of this, I can't even read it all before I have to just stop and start preaching about it. I'm serious. This is Paul the Apostle who's the impossible. Paul the Impossible. Wow. At least I think I've said something I don't think anybody else has ever said before. And I did it in church, so maybe it's okay. Paul the Apostle is actually praying for us. He's praying for everybody that's come to the Lord and that will come to the Lord. And this prayer is so powerful because Paul had an experience with God. Because Paul was a very religious man. He was the student of all students, the scholar of all scholars. And he was stuck. He was actually killing Christians. Do you understand that Christians were first called Christians in Antioch? And it wasn't like, hey, y'all are such a cool group of people. We like y'all. And that guy y'all follow is Jesus Christ. I know what we're going to call you, Christians. That's going to be a beautiful name for y'all. Y'all can make wavy banners and everybody will like it. It just kind of flows. Christians. That's not what happened at all. That was meant as a slam. That was meant as to mark them as those people. You're one of those Christians. That's what you are. Tried to put shame on them. Tried to give them an identity that came with its own special crisis already installed. So Paul is now praying that you've been saved, but you need to get what has happened to you. So I believe that, and I'm hoping that we're all saved folk here today. And if we're not, then that can happen too, real quick, real easy, real easy. It is finished. But Paul said, we got to get this thing right. So he says this, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In other words, there's more to this than you're just thinking. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Okay, as far as I go right there. That is such a mouthful. I had to read it. I wish I could talk like that. Have you ever heard somebody talk and say, I wish I could talk like them? I wish I could say what Paul just said. But the thing is, you got to have an experience like Paul had to talk like Paul talked. But he's saying the experience that I had, you've had it too, but it's more to be opened up to you. And you've got to understand exactly what this thing is that God has for you. This revelation that he has for you. Revelation is not just showing you something that you didn't know. Revelation is something that's been there the whole time. Now it's just been uncovered for you. Revelation revealed, like it's revealed. You ever pass by something 100 times and all of a sudden you see something that you didn't see before? Revelation. It had been there the whole time. You just hadn't noticed it yet. It's like a suddenly in your life. Suddenly is just a prepared thing whose time has come. Do you remember a few minutes ago when I said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? There are suddenlies in your life, but they're not a magical element that you grab on a computer screen to power you up. A suddenly is a prepared thing whose time has come, and God just drops it in front of you or reveals it right there. How many times have you heard me say this? Revelation is not hidden from you. It's hidden for you. You get that? Listen, there's some things that God will change about your language. As he changes your principles, he will change your language so that you understand his word. Just say that sentence right there. Revelation is not hidden from me. Say it. Revelation is hidden for me. Okay. He's saying, God, give me the ability to see what's been there the whole time. I'm praying that God give you the revelation, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. This is big stuff, and it's God's stuff. So, but what does Paul want us to see? Not just what does Paul want us to see, what is Paul praying for us to see? He's not just saying, hey, I heard about this place, I want you to go check it out for yourself. It'd be like somebody telling you, I'm telling you this place is so good. I'm not just telling you where it's at. I'm praying that you go there now. You want to go now? I'll take you there now. My car's full of gas. Let's go. Come on. You got to see this. So Paul's not just saying, but what is it he's saying that he wants you to see? Not just that. What is he praying for you to see? Look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know. Here it is. This is what he's wanting you to see. What is the hope of his glory, of his calling? What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance? Here it is. What he's wanting you to know is these words. What is in the saints? Look, he's not just telling you what it is. He's telling you where it's at. It's one thing to tell somebody about something, but to take them to the place where it's at. See, if you're expecting to get something, then you're probably expecting me to give it to you. But what if what I want to give you is already inside of you? You just don't know it's there yet. That's called revelation. What he's wanting you to know is that when you accepted God, You got something inside of you now. Why else could Jesus say it was finished? If he's going to have to come back and do all these things for you again. See, here's the thing. It's in you. You just got to pull it out of you. That's what he wants to do, is pull it out of you. Some of you, your kids are, you noticed that they were in the house, that you told them to put that ball down or they were going to break something, and they threw it anyway, and no sooner had you said it and it broke something, and it wasn't the kid. Have y'all experienced the forgiveness of the Lord that is instant and good and really good? I'm not just preaching myself out of hot water. But when you see that, you start thinking, kid's got an arm. Maybe I will get them involved in Little League. See, it's in them. You just pull it out of them. Or maybe they hear a little jingle on the television, and the next thing you know, you hear the piano, and they're dun, 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 dun. You're like, there's something in there. I want to pay for a lesson just to see if we can pull this out of them. See, there's stuff that's in you. It's in there. Look at your neighbor and say, it's in there. Because God said it was. Come on, give them that assurance. It's in there because God said it's in there. And it can be brought out of you, okay, that you may know what is in the saints. This is what Paul was praying for us to see, that it's in the saints, not for them, in them. Go back to verse 11 and 12. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. So this is what he says about the inheritance. He's saying all this. He said, I want you to see that you have an inheritance and it's in you. Now, here's the rules of an inheritance. The rules of an inheritance remains the same. For you to receive the inheritance, somebody has to die. Somebody has already died. His name is Jesus. And the inheritance is already in you. So it's not about what you're going to get. See, we got to fight against where our mind goes. Because if I'm thinking inheritance, like, I'm going to miss grandma really bad, y'all. But grandma was loaded. So as I miss her, I'm going to miss her. And every time I put the key in this Ferrari and turn that, and I hear that motor and them 1,000 horses roar, I'm going to be like, Grandma, I missed you. I'll see you soon. But see, we start thinking about it as something that we get. Right? Right? That's why some people serve Grandma the eggs that's got a little powder in it. Oh, this will help you. This will help you, Grandma. Cause, now listen, that's cause that, you know what that is? Just hang with me. I'm going somewhere. Cause they're thinking that they're going to get something. This is not about what you're going to get. This is really about what you've already got. It's in you. It's just got to be pulled out of you. Sorry, Grandma. I'm a little rough on Grandma today. The rules of the inheritance is that someone had to die. Paul said this, I'm praying that you know that this is for you and that it's in you already. Not for you, but it's in you. So verse 11 and 12, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we, say we, Now the rest of y'all say, we. That we who first trusted in Christ, I told you these were believers, should be to the praise of His glory. All right, verse 11. I'm going to say it. I want you to get it because most of you missed it. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory. See, we think inheritance means what I get. And He said inheritance is what you be. Not what you're going to get, what you're going to be. Proof that when you come to Him, something needs to change inside of you. Something about you needs to be different than the old man that you used to be. Or the old woman that you, I can't hardly say it. Sound like my old lady. I feel like it's one of them shame words. It's hard for me to say. It's not for you. It's in you. But if you don't have the revelation of this, you never access the inheritance that is already inside of you. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can get the revelation of who you are and what your purpose is. Because if you don't get the revelation of that, though it's inside of you, you'll never walk in it because you never got it. I want to know who I am. If I know who I am, then I can be who I'm supposed to be. I'm trying to get away from them, Billy. Paul said this, I'm praying that you'll be able to wrap your mind around the fact and reality that there is an inheritance inside of you and that you are not locked out from it through ignorance. See, if you don't know it, then it's ignorance. It falls into this one category. If you don't know it, it's just ignorance. Paul said, I'm praying that you get it. Paul said, it's there. I'm telling you, it's there. And you got to get it. But if you don't get it, he's really saying if you don't get it, it's your fault. Because there's a revelation that's coming to you that you're more, that there's more. Have you ever, as a believer, felt like there's more? See, that's it right there. There's your indicator. There's your clue right there. There's more. There's more. I know there's more. That's why in 2005 I didn't quit. That's why my fingers, I remember looking down at my fingers and they were white right there because I was gripping that so hard because God was moving on me and I was like, no, I done preached for 10 years and I'm done, God. I'm done. Jeremiah felt like that. He said, God, I won't preach anymore in your name. But a little bit later he said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. I gotta get it. Gotta get it out. I'm like, God, only you know how big a liar I am. I said I wasn't going to preach this no more. And then all of a sudden I realized it's so much. I got to say it. It's like fire shut up inside of you. And Paul said, I'm praying that you get it. I'm praying that your mind is not just exposed to it, that all of a sudden it creates that what's been hungry anyway. Just stop for a second. Hey, we love you guys. Love y'all. Man, we love you guys. Get out of here before I start crying. Man. Love you. Love your boys. Tell your boys how much we love them. And that big one, tell him to come back. Seen him a little while. I pray that you be able to wrap your mind around the fact and reality that there's an inheritance inside of you and that you are not locked out from it through ignorance. Because ignorance is just simple. If you don't get it, if you don't know it, then it's ignorance. It's not a slam. We used to slam each other. We used to be mean. We used to call, like I didn't know, like I was running out of words and didn't know what to say. Somebody was calling me names and something like that. And I would say, well, you're ignorant. And I didn't even know where to go from there. I think it was the shoulder shrug and then the mama, and then it was on. But when I got to ignorant, that was pretty serious. Because I thought that meant more than it meant. I thought it meant that you're stupid, you're dumb, you're ugly, and you stink. Ignorant. Because you're ignorant. You're ignorant. So you don't even know what that it means. You just don't know. Just ignorant. Just, it's not nothing wrong. You're not stupid. Just don't know. What if there's something so good inside of you? I remember people that I went to school with, they were so bad, and I was worse. And some of the worst ones have turned their lives around. And it's not just that something happened, something was already inside of them. No wonder the enemy fought them so hard. How many can you say, thank you for the grace of God? You know, thank you that you didn't give up on me. Really. Ignorance. You don't want to stay in the land of ignorance. The word for ignorance is used, the Greek word of ignorance is used in a word in the New Testament. It's called darkness. You don't know, so it's darkness. So we think sometimes darkness is just sin. It's like, not just sin, I'm talking about bad sin. Darkness in the New Testament is ignorance. Ignorance, stuff that you don't know. Do you realize that your Bible says that Satan has been locked away in chains of darkness? He has been reserved in chains of darkness. Do you know what a reservation is? A reservation is a place where the rules change on the reservation. And if you don't know how the rules go on the reservation, step onto the reservation, break the rules, and you'll pay a price that you didn't know that you were going to have to pay because you were going by the rules out there. But the rules changed when you got on the reservation. And the enemy has actually been given a little bit of time where he can function in an area of darkness. He can actually traffic in areas of darkness. So there are areas in your life. And if you dabble in those areas, all of a sudden, the darkness, you're involved into something. I didn't know that it was going to be like this, because once you cross that line, that thing tries to suck you in and hold you right there and hold you. Because it's darkness. And the opposite of darkness is, somebody better hear me. We're living in a dangerous time. You can be enveloped in darkness really quick, and all of a sudden it's harder for you to get out than you thought it was. Stay in the light. Follow the light. I'm about to go 8 different directions with that. He wants you to know. You know why I know that this is, I said that there's an identity crisis. I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to pick up right here next time. I know that there's an identity crisis in this area of the Christian walk. Because Christians who God wants to know, are still living in feel. I don't know how many times I've seen it, heard it. It's the last thing that I like to hear. I mean, I hate it when I hear it. Now, it's become offensive to me for a Christian to say, well, I just feel like. Do you know how many options that opens up? Do you know how the road is not narrow anymore? All of a sudden, it's just like, because if you follow your feelings, you'll end up anywhere. And probably visit all kinds of places on the way to there that you shouldn't have ever gone to. God doesn't want the Christian to feel like. He wants the believer to know. No. I get so outdone with I just feel like, and I know that that's a trained thing and that happens by road and it's easy to say, and I used to say it a lot and I still say it sometimes, but I try to catch myself. I say, wait a second, do I really feel like that when it's possible for me to know something right here? Because we don't just need to feel like something. There's a direction we need to go. There's a path that we need to take. He directs my path if I let him. Psalm 23, it's all about it. It's all about it. If I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil right there either. You guide my path. My steps are ordered by the Lord. So I go here, and I say, literally. Will you just come play right here? Yeah. I just hit the brakes. I need